Lord, I want to lift up this time of getting into your word. I pray that you'll guide us through it. I pray you'll help us to come with humble hearts, humble attitudes, that we will come seeking to know you more, come seeking to make you known through our lives. Lord, as we close out this series, that you will challenge us, that you will not leave us the same as we were. The Holy Spirit, that you'll convict us and work in our lives in areas that we need to hand over to you. Lord, speak to our hearts. Holy Spirit, work in our lives and guide us today through your word. I pray this in your name, Jesus. Amen. If you have a Bible, please turn with me to the book of Mark. Mark chapter 12. This has been our launching point for this series, and we're going to close out the series today. And so Mark chapter 12, verse 28 through verse 34. One of the scribes approached. When he heard them debating and saw that Jesus answered them well, he asked him, "Which command is the most important of all?" Verse 29 here. "This is the most important," Jesus answered. "Listen, Israel, the Lord, our God, the Lord is one." Verse 30 has been our main focus. "Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. The second is love your neighbor as yourself. There is no other command greater than these." Then the scribe said to him, "You are right, teacher. You have correctly said that he is one, and there is no one else except him. And to love him with all our heart, with all your understanding, with all of your strength, and to love your neighbor as yourself is far more important than all the burnt offerings and sacrifices." When Jesus saw that he answered intelligently, he said to him, "You are not far from the kingdom of God." And no one dared to question him any longer. We've been mainly working through verse 30. Loving God with all of your heart, with all of your soul, with all of your mind, and with all of your strength. This is not an opinion. This is the command. We are commanded to love God with our all, to be all in. We started out with a question of, do you love God? And we worked our way now through the heart and with now through the soul and now through the mind, and now we're on loving God with all of your strength. Over the last month, I've had the opportunity to not only go to Teen Serve and be a part of that with our youth ministry for a few days, but also the opportunity to, for the last week, minister alongside the Life Point youth ministry that was here. And some amazing things happen during youth ministry trips. And if you've ever been on one, you can attest to what happens during these trips. Is the kids, the adults, whoever's there, get really, really excited about what God wants them to do in life. Get really focused on the call that God has given them to be disciple makers or ministers, to reach their friends, to reach their classmates, to reach their coworkers. They get very excited about this. And a lot of times people call these mountaintop experiences of their closeness to God. And they're just all in. Very excited about it. And then they come back to what some would say reality And they start to get involved in a whole bunch of other stuff in life, and the busyness of life starts to creep in, and the hurt in life starts to creep in, and all the other things. And for some reason, the all in becomes less in and less in and less in and less in, to the point where they're not in at all for God. And that's always bothered me. Why is that? You see, that shouldn't be our Christian life for a week or for a month or for a few months. That should be our Christian life, an all-in Christian life. We're not called to live all in just part of our life. It's snippets of our life, but we're called to be all in for Christ all the time. And I think the amazing thing that why that happens, or why we get to that point, is because many times during those weeks of service, during those mission trip weeks, or during youth camps and things like that, and maybe doing an adult mission trip, we are totally sold out and focused on God's call for that week. We're spending time in God's Word with each other and by ourselves studying God's Word. We're spending time worshiping. We're spending time on a daily basis worshiping and praying to God. We're spending time using all of our strengths and all of our abilities to pour into God's call. And so we see what it's really supposed to be like for our life. We use all of our mind. We're using all of our heart. We're using all of our understanding. We're using all of our strength. We're pouring out our soul and our brokenness to God. And that's meant to be across our lives. That all-in week that a teen spends or a person spends on a mission trip, we're meant to be all-in for our entire life. See, I've heard it described this way. We many times like to split apart, and I've used this description before here. We many times like to split apart our life into different sections, like a cake. We have a big cake. Picture it here. It's a beautiful cake. And we like to have the work section of the cake. We like to have the family section of the cake. And we like to have the hobby section of the cake. And we like to have the friendship section of the cake. And we like to have maybe the responsibility section of the cake outside of work. And so we've got all these sections of cake. And then in there somewhere, we have the leftover piece of cake that God gets. Once everything else is done, then God gets whatever is left over, or the very first hour and a half corner on a Sunday morning. That's God's section of cake. In reality, we have many sections in our life, but our relationship with God should be the frosting. Our relationship with God should cover every single aspect of our life across the entire thing. The best part, the frosting. And when God is over all, or we're all in for God and He's covering everything, then our mind's all in for Him. Our heart's all in for Him. Our soul's all in for Him. And our strength's all in for Him in every aspect of our life. No matter how we slice it, you can't get away from the frosting that covers the entire thing. And that's the picture of what we're trying to work towards here, and what I'm trying to challenge myself towards here, As we get into strength, we talked about heart, talking about our passions, our emotions, our affections, our desires given to God, loving Him with all that. He becomes our passion. Pastor Ben talked about soul, loving God with who you really are, your deepest self, being open and honest with God. We talked about loving God with all our mind, all our intellect, our decision making, our disciplines, and building up a discipline or habit of getting into God's Word and surrendering to Him on a daily basis and growing into Him. And now we're talking about strength, using all of our abilities, all of our spiritual gifts, all of our effort for Him. Loving God with all of our strength is committing our time, our energy, and our effort fully to God, that it purposely serve Him each and every day to give Him glory in each and every area of that cake we're talking about there. And so as I'm a dad, I'm doing it for God. As I'm an employee, I'm doing it for God's glory. As I'm a husband, I'm doing it for God's glory. As I'm a friend, I'm doing it for God's glory. As I was reading through this, I'm trying to understand loving God with all of our strength and using these abilities He's given us for His glory, and using these spiritual gifts He's given us for His glory, and using every area of my life and seeing life as an opportunity to pour all in for Him. I was taken to the book of Ephesians, and we're going to kind of walk through a few passages in Ephesians, and so I invite you to turn to Ephesians if you would. Ephesians chapter 2. To start. Ephesians 2, it's not going to be up behind me. Ephesians 2, 8 through 10. And Ephesians is very life application. It's, as you read through it, you can go, man, I need to apply that. I need to get busy on doing this. And it's great reminders in life. It touches every aspect of life, and that's why I think it's so important when we're looking at living an all-in, loving God with all of our strength type of life, putting all of our effort into His work in our life or for His glory in our life. As we get into this, Ephesians touches on every aspect of life. And so Ephesians 2, verse 8 through 10, as we get into this, how do I love God? Or here's some starting points of how to love God with all my strength. I need to realize, first of all, Ephesians 2, 8 through 10. And Ephesians 2, verse 8 through 10 says this, "For you are saved by grace through faith." Very familiar passage. We've heard this passage over and over and over. "You are saved by grace through faith. And this is not from yourselves, it is God's gift." Okay, so saved by grace through faith is the gift of God. Not from works, okay? So you weren't saved from your works. What you did not save you. It is God's grace that saved you alone. But do not forget this, so that no one can boast. Going on into verse 10, for we are His creation, created in Christ Jesus for good works. You are created for good works. You are not created by your works, but you are created for good works, which God prepared ahead of time so that you should walk in them. Did you know that you were saved by Christ to get to work for Him? To use all of your strength working for God? You were saved by Christ to work for Him. Don't miss that. Yes, you are saved by grace, not by works, but you are not meant to be a lazy Christian. We are not meant to accept Christ and then go, "I'm good. God can have an hour and a half section of my week, and that is all He's getting." No, He should be covering every single aspect of our life. We should be busy for God. Continually at work. It says we are created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared ahead of time so that we might walk in them? No. So that we should walk in them. Do not forget, as we talk about loving God with all of our strength, that we're called to get to work for Jesus. Secondly, as we put in effort and as we try to love God with all of our strength, working for Him, I want to remind us what Ephesians 5 says. Ephesians 5, 15 through 16. Ephesians 5, 15 through 16 says this. Pay careful attention. Okay, so looking at your life, pausing for a second. Let's break down the details of our life and say, okay, I'm going to pay careful attention to how I'm living, intentionally putting effort in for God's glory in everything I do because I have been saved by grace, not in order to be saved. Okay, because I have been saved by grace, I'm going to go to work for God. And I'm looking at my life. I'm paying careful attention to how I'm living. It says, pay careful attention then to how you walk. Not as unwise people, but as wise. Make the most of the time. Because the days are evil. Make the most of the time. Because the days are evil. Honestly, if we pay careful attention to our life and we step back and we break down our life, do we really make the most of the time that we have here on earth? Getting to work for Christ. Ephesians goes on and it breaks down areas of our life that we need to be serving God. It's not a God's time and then the rest of my time. It's all God's time. And it breaks down areas of home that we should be working for God in. Areas of church that we should be working for God in. Areas of our family and our work. I want to start with church. Ephesians 4:16 says this. From him, the whole body, fitted and knit together by every supporting ligament, promotes the growth of the body for the building up of itself in love by the proper working of each individual part. You want to love God with all of your strength, putting full effort into getting to work for God? Get busy in the church. Be active in your church, working in the church. You see, God has a special purpose for each and every single one of us right here at RBF. Are we seeking to know what God wants us to do here at RBF as a church family? Are we part of the proper working of each individual part? Or are we relying on every other part to do the work? I've heard it asked this. Do you walk into church and ask, how will the church serve me? Or do we walk into church and say, how can I serve the church? I had a conversation with Matt, the youth pastor at LifePoint this week, and he said, we're talking about how, you know, line items or far step breakdowns of statistics show that 20% of the church does most of the work and the other 80% of the church does nothing within the church. And it breaks down that way. And he also, what we were talking, when he said something along the lines of, it's estimated that 80% of those who come to church don't even know Christ. They've never given their life to Christ. They hear about Jesus. They like the idea of salvation, but they've never surrendered their life to Christ. And so 80% of the church barely even knows what Christianity is supposed to be like. And then you read verses in scripture where Christ is speaking and people come to him and says, Lord, Lord, I knew you. And he says, depart from me. I never knew you. And I wonder how many within the church have never got busy within the church or active in the church or working in the church because they've never surrendered lordship of their life to Christ in the first place. And it breaks my heart. And when I see a team of 40-something people come into RBF and pour their hearts out into our community for a week and see the family and the friends that are working together for the glory of God, I long to see that in everything that we do here as a church family. That we're all getting to work for Jesus. And we're ministering for him throughout this community and throughout the world for his glory. And so let me encourage you to commit to actively serve within the church for the benefit of others, as Ephesians 4:16 says. And so if you want to love God with all your strength, then commit to work within the church. Next, if you want to love God with all your strength, as Paul breaks it down, then let's go over to chapter 5 again, chapter 5, and going into verse 22, verse 25, and then 6:1, that talks about family. And first of all, it talks about wives, and it says, wives, submit to your husbands as to the Lord. Okay. And so it breaks down these commitments, and then it says to husbands, it says in verse 22, verse 25, we see, husbands, love your wives just as Christ loved the church. And so the sacrificial, the self-giving, the serving love that a husband's called to have. And then we go over to chapter 6, verse 1, and it says, children, get this, you're in here, children, obey your parents as you would the Lord. And so we break down these verses, and each one is done unto the Lord. Each one is done for God's glory. And so if we carefully look at our lives, as we were talking about in verse 15 and 16, as we break down and carefully pay attention to our lives, would we say that, husbands, we are loving our wives like Christ loved the church? Wives, would you say that you are submitting your husband as you would to the Lord? Okay, going on, before husbands go, look, did you hear that? Do you know that the very verse before that, verse 21, husbands, says, submit to one another in the fear of Christ? And so it calls all Christians to submit to each other. If your wife is a Christian, who are you called to submit to also, husbands? Your wives. Just point that out. So we're all called to submit to each other before we get big heads. Children, if we look at our lives, do we say, man, I want to follow Christ and I want to be obedient to my parents as though I'm obeying Christ because I want to give Christ honor. And so as we break down our life and pay careful attention to how we are walking, are we making the most of our time and our family for God's glory? Paul goes on and he also breaks down our work commitments. He's talking to slaves here, but many of you would say, I'm a slave to my job. Verse 6 of chapter 6, just talking about work in general here. As you work, slaves, obey your human masters. If you have a job, then you have a responsibility to someone who is in charge of you, a master. Slaves, obey your human masters with fear and trembling in the sincerity of your heart as to Christ. Don't work only while being watched in order to please men, but as slaves of Christ, do God's will from your heart. Serve with a good attitude as to the Lord and not to men. And so as we work, may we do it also as though we are doing it for the Lord, putting full effort in for Him, for His glory and honor. Colossians, I want to invite you to turn to Colossians as we close with this today. Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians. Colossians chapter 3, verse 17. We have this broken down once again. Paul writes once again here in Colossians. And chapter 3, verses 17 through verse 24. This is the, to me, this is kind of the whole point, the whole kind of breaks it all down to how we're called to love God with all of our effort, all of our strength, pouring fully into Him. It says this, "And whatever you do, in word or in deed, in word or in deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus." Do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus. And so that entire cake, whether you're working, whether you're in your family, whether you're in your hobby, whether you're at church, whatever you're doing, we're doing it all for the name of the Lord Jesus. Every single thing we're doing with full effort, full strength for His glory, for His honor. And so it goes on, it says, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through Him. And it goes down through these same areas again. Wives, be submissive to your husbands, as is fitting in the Lord. Husbands, love your wives, and don't be bitter toward them. Children, obey your parents in everything, for this pleases the Lord. Fathers, do not exasperate your children. I had to pause because that's a big word for me to read. So they won't be discouraged. Slaves, obey your human masters in everything. Don't work only while being watched in order to please men, but work wholeheartedly, fearing the Lord. Whatever you do, do it enthusiastically as something done for the Lord, not for men. Knowing that you will receive the reward of inheritance from the Lord, you serve the Lord Christ. Breaking down those areas of work, those areas of home, those areas of ministry. Do we serve the Lord wholeheartedly with all of our strength? As Christ says, the greatest command is what? Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all of your soul, with all of your mind, and with all of your strength. And so in the end, the question is, do we love God? Do we love God? Are we all in? Do we really want to know Him with all of our mind? To seek Him to change our minds? Do we want Him to be the desire of our hearts, and everything that we do is seeking to passionately go after Him? Are we putting full effort in with our strength because He is our Savior? Not in order to receive salvation, but because we have received salvation, we're putting full effort in for Him. Are we open and honest about our brokenness and our failures with God? Have you ever been broken before Him and said, this is who I really am. I have been hiding some things from you. This is who I really am. And God says, Rick, I still want you and I still love you and I still want to use you. Do we love God with everything that we are? Has He covered our life, every aspect, for His glory, for His honor? And so, only you can answer that. And if you're honest, I think you'll probably be like me and go, I got a ways to go. I got a ways to go. But I don't want to give up. I don't want to stop. I want to continue to pursue Christ because He pursued me. He died for me so that I could have life. And yeah, I fail, but I'm not going to sit in my failure and stop moving forward. As Brother Jerry was sharing last week, that pursuit of Christ, a lot of Christians, they don't go on. They don't go on to serve the Lord or do anything for Christ because they sit in their failure and they think, well, look at all the things I've done that Christ could never use me. I can't do anything. No, he wants to use you. He has put you as part of the body of Christ so that every single part of the body would work for him. Don't sit in your failure. How is our love for God shown in our lives? Do we love him with all of our mind, all of our soul, all of our heart, all of our strength? Let's pray. Lord, this passage is a challenging passage. And to get a better understanding of it, when you really break it down, it's an all-in love for you. It's an all-surrendered love for you. It's a constant seeking you. It's a covering every aspect of our lives, wanting to follow you. Lord, help us to understand it more. There's areas of our life that we have not surrendered to you and we've been holding on. Lord, I pray that today, right now, we will surrender those to you. Lord, if there's areas of our life that we've separated and we try to keep the church aspect, the Christian aspect, the religious aspect, the relationship aspect with you separate from everything else, Lord, may that be let go. Lord, and may you cover every aspect of our life for your honor and glory. Lord, that we'll put full effort in for you. Effort in knowing you more. Effort into pursuing you passionately. Effort into working within the church. Effort into ministering within our families and our friendships and at work, Lord. That all of our strength will be given to you, Lord. Thank you for your word, and I thank you for your challenges. And we pray this in your name, Jesus. Amen.